Hurricane season is here, and now storm chasers have some new tools to help them reach the eye of the storm. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. Forecasters from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, predict yet another season of above normal hurricane activity, the seventh year in a row. To track and predict these storms, scientists rely on data from satellites, radar, and planes. This year, on top of that technology, staff at NOAA will also be using a fleet of autonomous vehicles in the air and at sea to reveal new data about what happens during the worst of a storm. Jason Dunyon is NOAA's Hurricane Field Program Director, and he says when studying these storms, it's not just the sky we should be looking at.
We talk about the atmosphere. It's a really important part of what makes a hurricane tick, but so is the ocean. So we're testing a lot of different platforms. We have buoys. We have an instrument called a sail drone that's very interesting. It actually sailed right into a hurricane last year, collecting all sorts of observations, right, where we don't want to send ships, but we don't mind sending a drone. So we're getting information about the waves and what the ocean temperatures look like. We even have hurricane gliders. So these are floating out in the ocean, and they do these dives from the surface down to several hundred meters to give us an idea of, well, what does, we know what the temperature at the ocean surface looks like, but what does it look like down below? Because there's more energy down there. That warm water can help feed the storm. So that's really important information that we can gather as well.
This year, you're also trying out something new to monitor hurricanes as they form. Small autonomous planes. How do those work?
So they're uncrewed aircraft systems. The advantage to these, they're little winged planes. They have about a 6 to 8 foot wingspan, so they're quite small, is that we actually can launch them from our P3 Hurricane Hunters. So rather than launch them from hundreds or even several hundred miles away from the storm, we actually fly the plane to the storm and then drop them right into the environment. So, and they can fly for an hour, 2 hours, even 3 hours, sampling parts of the storm that we don't usually get to sample.
And do those drones come back, or do they just sort of get beat up by the storm and descend into the abyss?
The drones that we're testing now, this is kind of the experimental phase, is we launch them, we get the data that we want, and they'll eventually make it down to the ocean and we won't get them back. The long-term plan would be to have these drones that can actually be deployed from the planes and then make it back, say, to a base in Florida or somewhere similar, so we can reuse them again. So we're not quite there yet, but I think that would be kind of a long-term vision of how we'd want to use these drones.
So where does all this data you collect from the instruments, where does all this data go?
So a lot of the data is going out to the forecast centers because we want the forecasters to have access to this data. At the same time, we want to get all this data out to the modeling centers so that they can ingest it and get a better representation of what does the environment look like around the storm, or what does the inner core of the storm look like itself. So the combination of the data that we're sending out to the different centers, really, it really gives us the biggest bang for our buck as far as the hurricane hunting that we're doing.
And when you talk about these modeling centers, you're talking about supercomputers that crunch all sorts of data to spit out storms and predictions in the short term as well as long term about the climate as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. We have models that are looking at weather patterns all around the world. We also have hurricane models that just focus their model runs over the storm itself. So the data is not only really important for right now, but it's important for the two-day model forecast, the five-day, or even going out a few weeks.
You all have used some of these instruments before. What's specifically different about how you're using them this year?
We really want to look at rapid intensification of hurricanes. These are the storms, they're very rare, the 95th percentile of hurricanes that rapidly intensify 35 miles per hour in just one day. So they're very difficult to forecast. And they're also can pose a real hazard for folks along the coast as far as preparing for a storm that might turn from a category one to a category three just overnight. So if we can start to pull apart some of these ingredients that are really important for rapid intensification, that's going to help us in the future.
You know, the research is so exciting and these tools are really interesting, but we're talking about storms that cost tens of millions, if not billions of dollars in damage and can be such a risk to people's lives. What impact do you think having this kind of tech is going to have on the people who live in these risky areas?
Yeah, you know, if I look at all this technology, and as a researcher, it's exciting to make these advancements, but we always have to remember the reason we're doing this is to improve the forecast. So if we can improve the forecast incrementally every year, all those improvements really lead to what we're trying to do is really save lives and protect property so that folks along the coast have the best possible forecast that they could have.
Jason Dunyon is NOAA's Hurricane Field Program Director. And now for some related links. NOAA has images and graphics of all these new tools and resources to learn more about their program. For example, you can watch a video of a sail drone as it rides out the Category 4 Hurricane Sam last year. That's all on our website, marketplacetech.org. And while NOAA is working on improving hurricane predictions, FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, is working on making homes and buildings in the path of these storms more resilient. Last week, the agency announced an initiative to update building codes so structures can better survive hurricanes, floods, and other natural disasters. We'll link to the Associated Press's coverage of that story. And NOAA isn't alone in deploying drones during natural disasters. AT&T is upgrading its drone service in disaster zones in order to bring 5G to areas where big storms knock out the phone networks. CNET reports that in the company's initial tests, the drones flew 300 feet in the air, providing coverage for about a 10-mile area on the ground. AT&T hopes to be able to roll the drones out in about a month if they need to, but I guess it depends on the forecast. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.